Hey everyone, I'm Chris Hall and you're listening to the Downtime Podcast, the podcast for an in-depth insight into the world of downhill and enduro mountain biking. This week we're catching up with Meg White and Adam Brayton, but before that our supporting partners have got some great offers for you. This is your last chance to claim your free map bundle from Komoot, the new route planning and navigation app that's great for exploring on your mountain bike. The app itself is free to download, and as a Downtime listener, you can also get a free map bundle worth $8.99 by using the code DOWNTIME, all in capitals, at the checkout. Just head to komoot.com now and give it a try for free. That's Komoot, spelled K-O-M-O-O-T. That offer is valid until the end of August 2019, so you better be quick if you don't want to miss out. Komoot is great for planning off-road, road or gravel bike rides. You can share your routes with your friends directly through Komoot, and it's compatible with devices like Wahoo and Garmin, making it super easy to get your routes onto those. Komoot will give you turn-by-turn navigation, so as you can focus on enjoying the ride rather than working out where you're going. So what are you waiting for? Head to komoot.com and claim your free map bundle while you still have time. Next up is Precision Hydration, and they're on a mission to help us all with our personal hydration. It has a huge impact on our performance, both on and off the bike, but it's not straightforward, as we all sweat at different rates and with different levels of electrolytes in that sweat. Precision Hydration solve this for you with a free online questionnaire or an in-person sweat test to enable them to give you your own tailored hydration plan, and then top quality electrolyte products in different strengths, which are way stronger than your regular sports hydration products, to keep everything working right. They have a great blog with loads of helpful information over on precisionhydration.com, and I'll put a link to one about the importance of preloading your hydration in the show notes. I read that recently and found it super helpful. I've been using the products for a couple of weeks now, and I've been really surprised at how much they've helped. It's a tricky one to explain kind of how it feels, but I'm definitely less fatigued after training and riding. And they've helped me shift some of the like light headaches that I get in the afternoon, which I guess must have been hydration related. So far, I'm really stoked on the results. To get your free hydration plan, visit precisionhydration.com and fill out their online questionnaire, or book yourself for an in-person sweat test. If you want to use their range of top quality electrolytes, then as a Downtime listener, you get 20% off using the code DOWNTIME, all in capitals, at the checkout. Now, if you've been listening for a while, you'll know that I set myself the target of getting to 1 million downloads before the end of the year. And I'm super pleased to say that with your help, we hit that target this week. It's absolutely insane to think that the podcast, which I started in my spare time because I wanted to find out more about our amazing sport, has reached so many people. Thanks so much for your support and for spreading the word to your riding friends and communities, as that's what's helped me get this far. So, onwards to 2 million, I guess. If you want to show your support for the podcast, you can do that by getting yourself something from our webshop, downtimepodcast.com/shop, where we've got t-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts and mugs. The website has also got a subscribe page to help make sure you get every episode and to help you join our fast-growing newsletter. And don't forget to give us a follow on social media, where we're at Downtime Podcast. Okay, this week I'm having a catch-up with Meg White and Adam Brayton. We chat about getting into racing, keeping fit and strong, the state of the UK scene, World Cups, Hardline, and plenty more. So, without further ado, here's Meg White and Adam Brayton. Meg White and Adam Brayton, welcome to the Downtime Podcast. How's it going?
Yeah, we're good, eh?
Thanks, yeah.
Yeah, first ever couples podcast. How are you feeling about that?
Pressured.
Yeah, I'm feeling a bit of pressure, eh? But I mean, obviously, we're the super couple, so.
Power couple of the sport.
I'd like to think, obviously, we've got some close rivals, but we'll try and set the standards this evening.
As long as he lets me get a word in, we'll be all right.
Give it a listen, yes.
Excellent. Well, we will, because Adam's been on before, so we've kind of covered quite a lot of your background, Adam. So we will start with you, Meg. Tell us a little bit about how you got into riding, because you've not been mountain biking that long, right?
No, so it all started kind of, I went to Bangor University, so when I was about 18, and I was massively into my climbing, and I actually had a bad injury, and I fell off and broke my foot pretty bad, and one of the sports I kind of got into from that, and I found easier than climbing because there's so much pressure on my foot, was actually mountain biking.
Okay.
There's a big mountain bike scene up in North Wales, so I got involved with a club, and then the club went to Morzine, and when I was in Morzine, I was like blown away, and I was like, this is the best place ever. There was like, this is before Adam, so there was men everywhere, there was alcohol, there was the best tracks in the world, and I was like, this is like the best place ever. So I came back home and was like, well, this sucks. I don't really want to be stuck at home the rest of the summer. So I actually went out and got a job, just something real, like, I think I was on 30 cents an hour or something, but it was worth it just for riding my bike every day.
Yeah.
So that ended up, so from the summer, I ended up spending about 3 years there. And then entered my first races and got into IXS downhill. I did my first year of racing, so when it was, 18, 19, 20, 20-ish. And then I got to a point, I was like, oh, I'm going to move back to the UK, and I did. And luckily, my parents live in a really cool place in the UK. So I live, like, Shropshire, Wales, on the border.
Nice.
And it just jackpot. I live in, like, one of the best places in the UK in terms of riding. Revolution's 10, 15 minutes down the road. And then I just... to make friends that were riding bikes, I decided to race over here. So I just started in doing the British rounds. And then went from there, really. And then kind of got some sponsors through Creation Cycles, my first sponsor. They helped me massively. So did Hope. Like, I was like overwhelmed with the amount of support I got from not really riding that much. And then...
How did the sponsor side of it come about then? Did you kind of seek it? Did they come to you? How did that work?
So it came from obviously social media side. I was probably one of few girls that were on social media posting photos of riding. That was literally all I did. And then came over here, and then obviously I got Creation Cycles, and that was Hope and Fox. And then the year after riding for Creation Cycles, Hope wanted me as a sponsored rider, so they gave me build kits, and so did Fox, which was amazing. Like, people dream of that stuff, is being sponsored by Fox. And then I was with them for 2 or 3 years, and same with Transition. And then Transition UK sponsored me for 3 years.
So it kind of stepped up from like the shop team up to
basically
like...
So what I was riding on at Creation, they all kind of, all the sponsors I was using all started to sponsor me individually.
Yeah, nice.
And then I went off on my own for a bit, well, like I am now, and then met this one, and now I'm on Nuke Proof.
Yeah, sweet.
And I've got my own little sponsors.
Nice. Yeah, we'll talk a bit more about the Nuke Proof stuff in a bit, because I'm interested to find out a bit about that. But how did you find racing? Because you hit quite a few women say, like, they're intimidated or maybe to go to a race. Like, it can be quite a male dominated environment, although maybe less so these days. How was it welcoming? Did you find it an enjoyable thing?
I did, yeah. Especially coming over here, I knew it was the only way I was going to make friends that rode bikes.
Uh-huh.
I was like, this, I just need to do it, and kind of threw myself in the deep end. And it turned out they're a lot easier than IXS's anyway, so it was actually a bit easier. But all the girls were so welcoming, like, and Tane, one of my best mates, just lives down the road, and she was in a similar position. So kind of knowing her helped quite a lot to make friends and kind of integrate into the mountain bike
world.
Yeah, so
you knew her from Morzine,
So we were friends before we moved, and then we actually live in a very similar area. It was really coincidental that we actually live just down the road from each other. But it isn't intimidating, but everyone is willing to ride with you. Like, I think some women come in and they're a bit apprehensive, and all you got to do is ask. Like, no one's ever going to say, no, you can't follow me down here. We're not that competitive. We were saying this earlier, as women, and it's not, we have fun and games. Like, we like riding with each other. We like showing each other lines. It's not massively competitive. Obviously, come race day, we all want to do really well, but we're also like, well done, you won. Like, congratulations. We're stoked for the other girls when they do well. Like, your time will come round. It's one of those. We're all quite similar. But it used to be, I think, intimidating, but it's not so much anymore. Better. I think guys, if anything, like, respect that you're doing it.
Yeah. What about for guys coming into it? Because I've raced some nationals a long time ago. I think I'd feel pretty intimidated turning up at a national these days just because things have moved on. But like, is it a welcoming thing, do you think, for guys coming into the sport?
Yeah, I'd like to think like it's one of the only sports in the world where everyone is so sound. I couldn't name one bad person in this game. But I could also see why it could be so intimidating, because like when I first started out, like we cut up our jeans for race shorts and that and rode bikes that were absolute sheds. Where now, you know, like a young kid coming in, like maybe he was in my position back in the day, that maybe doesn't have the best gear and the best bike, and you're looking at kids with the best of gear. You know, I can see why it could be off-putting potentially, but you know, at the end of the day, everyone is so nice, it doesn't really matter. You have just got to get stuck in. And
it is, it's super open as well. Like there's no, you're not inaccessible as a pro rider here. Like, oh, everyone's together.
Yeah.
Everyone integrates. Yeah, super chill, good atmosphere.
There's no pressure on track either. I think that's what a lot of, I think, girls fear, and young guys or people starting out, is that they're going to hold people back. But
yeah,
they've got their own time slot. Like, it's their fault if they've stuck behind you, they should pull over. There's nothing, I've never felt pressured when I'm riding. If they do, I just carry on anyway.
No, that's another thing. Like, if you catch someone up, I know British, it's inevitable.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not going to shout at anyone. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, I've seen the odd rider do it, but I mean, obviously, like, yeah.
We're all there for a good time.
Got a bit hot headed or whatever, but yeah, I mean, you know, it isn't that bad. I wouldn't say it's like, oh, hindrance, like, I don't want to do a British because I'm going to catch people up or whatever. Mm. No, it's not like that. So, yeah, no, it is a good scene to be a part of.
I think so. I think everyone looks forward to it. It's, you get to know everyone. Everyone's camping. I don't know, it's just a nice scene, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like a getaway.
Have a glass of wine and a few beers once you've finished. It's pretty chill.
Like a little holiday.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, weekend
holiday.
The
weather's like this.
And a bit of racing.
Albeit, yesterday wasn't great, was it? But
I guess, yeah, we should set the scene. We are sat in your van at the Hopton round of the British series, which is why we're chatting about British racing. I just realised we hadn't told people where we were. So what do you think the British scene is doing well at the moment? What's kind of weak, like?
Honestly, you know, I don't think it's doing well. I wouldn't say it's healthy by any means. I mean, look at, you know, you could name on one hand probably the, you know, top British riders that are here, and really we've got a lot of high caliber riders that I feel should support the series. I feel, you know, that's what brings on the next generation, is having Danny and G and all them guys to chase. You know, it's obviously the first round's obviously strong, everyone's keen, and then, but then again, the schedules are so hectic as well. It is, you know, there is two sides to it. It's a hard one, but yeah, I'd like to think everyone could be here.
Yeah, I guess this one clashing with Crankworx makes it a bit tricky for sponsor commitments for some people, maybe. But
yeah, I mean, and obviously, Hope's British company, and you know, I think it's quite a prestigious series to win as well. You know, winning one of these races is something you should be proud of.
Yeah, and what about the women's field, Meg? You were saying before we started that you thought it was a pretty good showing generally.
Yeah, like obviously a few of the elite women are out injured, but every year more and more women turn up and are fast, especially new riders as well. Like it's the field only every year gets bigger and bigger, and it's always really good atmosphere. I just think less so with the men's, obviously the elite men, there's not that many that have obviously turned up this weekend, but it was good to see that all the women turn up, and yeah, I think if the elite women were about, they would do it, but like you said, they're injured or they're busy at Crankworx, which is understandable, but it'd be cool to see like a full elite field, like when we go to Fort William. When we have the British there at the start of the year, you get a full elite field, which is great.
You've got the World Cup
coming up. Yeah, and then you get the spectators, and the spectators obviously just amp you up even more as a rider, and obviously brings more money to cycling and
atmosphere and exposure.
And it just, we don't want it to get to a point where no one's turning up to.
Yeah. Is there much of a, like, on race day, will there be many spectators here? How does that kind of work normally?
A couple, but obviously majority is just most people's parents.
That's nice, though.
Hey, but, like, you know, credit to them. Like, everyone, you know, everyone cheers you on. It is, you know, it is good still. Yeah. I don't want people thinking it's, like,
it'd be cool if every round was, like, Fort William, British, but it's not.
Yeah, fair enough.
But I feel it could be. There's no reason why it couldn't be.
Yeah.
I think it boils down to bonuses and prize money and all that stuff, sadly, but that is ultimately what's going to bring riders in. But yeah, having said that, I mean, Hardline's got a phenomenal purse this year, but it'll be interesting to see how many actually show up. Yeah, the list is looking good, but it looks good every year. So yeah, we'll see.
Are you going again?
Yeah, I'll have to, won't I? I still got redemption. I don't really want to go, if I'm honest with you, but I say that and then I get there and then I'm buzzing. So yeah.
When you say you don't want to go, is that fear? Like, is it or risk? Like, what makes you feel that way about it?
Yeah, probably a little bit of fear, and then just the whole way the events run. I don't like how the events run. It's very controlled, I think it's probably okay. The best word for it. There's not much freedom, very limited to track time. Yeah, it's very regimental and yeah, which is not me. So that's the kind of bit I dislike.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very, very controlled. That's how I'd describe it.
Fair enough. You like a more free form weekend.
Yeah, free form. I feel for the fans as well. I mean, they don't get to see a lot. It's a long day. Mm. It's as good as it is, it's super frustrating as well, which sounds weird.
Okay. Yeah.
And obviously mentally tough as well. But it's so rewarding. So it's like, yeah.
It must feel good to ride.
Oh, God, yeah. When you get confident on that track, there's nothing else on earth like it. It is unreal.
Yeah. Do you think World Cup should be moving towards that sort of level, or is it a different beast?
No, definitely I feel it should. I mean, that's what people want to see. I've said it before. They want to see huge jumps, massive crashes, and high speeds and that. You know what I mean? Like, it's right, though. I mean, you get to these tracks now at the bottom, and they could have had a 50-odd foot double or whatever. You know, every rider's capable of doing it.
Yeah.
And even the girls, a lot of girls would probably have a good go. Or I don't know. There's ways and means, but I believe, like, that's the way it needs to go towards Hardline.
Makes faces otherwise.
Well, I wouldn't do a World Cup if it was like Hardline. I think, like, as someone who would like to do a World Cup in my cycling career, if I can call it that.
Yeah.
I think Hardline would probably put me off if some of the jumps are like that. But
yeah, it would be well above my pay grade, that is for sure.
Yeah.
I think I'd be scared spectating. I think
if they were that hard, you'd kind of cut off half the fields at a World Cup. But I pose it to him, see how it goes.
What is that? You're going to be dumb, you've got to be tough.
So yeah. Someone then who wants to do a World Cup at some point, and as someone who does World Cups currently, have you discussed it? And do you think the British rounds, the tracks, are enough to get you towards that? Like,
no. Not after, so I went to my first two World Cups to watch at this year.
Uh-huh.
I've never been to any before. And the tracks are a lot harder, a lot longer than anything we've got here, apart from Fort William.
Yeah.
Which I've done, which is, it's physically demanding, it's hard.
Yeah.
And mentally, like, just staying that focus for 5 minutes or whatever it is hard work. But yeah, at some point I'd like to do one. It's balancing. I think it's harder if when you've got a full-time job and racing. Like, it's hard enough with the British and you've worked flat out all week and then you've spent your 2 days off in a field racing your bike and then you go back to work for another 5 days flat out. But it is hard, but I'd really like to do one. There are a few out there which are a bit easier, but like, that's why I do Fit for Racing, is to train for it.
Yeah.
Is to be as prepared as I can be without the ability to go out there a week ahead or a month ahead and practice.
You were already pretty into the fitness side of stuff before you met Adam, right? But
yeah,
is that where the Fit for Racing bit came in?
Yeah, so I always was a gym goer. I climbed still as well. But yeah, Fit for Racing came from, obviously, hanging out with you.
Yeah, I kind of pushed it on you.
And then, but I love it. I just like being pushed to my limit with anything, really. That's why I do weird sports.
I mean, like, we've been to the gym together.
Yeah.
I never thought I'd go with a girl that would give me a run for my money in the gym. You know, scaled or not, or whatever. Like, when Meg goes for it, it's hammer and tongue.
Yeah. It helps, though. Like, the last 2 years, definitely noticed an improvement. Like, it teaches you where your pain threshold is. So when you think, oh, I can't sprint for this finish line, you know you can until you throw up.
Yeah.
Like, you know you can go that bit further. And I do really enjoy it. Like, I like going up with this lot and trying to beat the lads or try and keep up with them at least.
I believe you did, didn't you?
I think I did beat someone under burpees.
A couple of motocross. A couple of motocross guys.
Yeah.
Slack.
Good work.
Mm. Oh, no, she did. You put it to them, eh?
So do you train together quite a bit now?
We've done a little bit, haven't we? Not as much as we'd like.
Yeah, we don't. We live. Well, he lives in Keswick, and I live in Shropshire, so it's.
It's basically 2.5 hours on a good run. Yeah.
I just do. I do all my fit for racing in just a normal gym,
okay.
Which does look a bit stupid sometimes. Got some of the stuff Johnny gets you to do in a normal gym. You do get some weird looks.
So, do you find it harder to push yourself when you're doing it on your own in another gym?
Oh, massively.
To get that deep kind of.
I think that's when I go up to theirs. I will push myself like as far as I can because I know when I'm at the gym. There's no one shouting in your ear to do 5 more or whatever. So it's, yeah, you do. You say you push just as hard, but you don't.
Yeah. Yeah, because you've got a good little gang up there, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. No,
push each other.
Absolutely, yeah. There's no one's to lose. It's just a little civil war, I guess, between us all. And yeah, it gets ugly, it gets nasty, and that's how it's got to be. I mean, it's the only way, sadly. And yeah, love it or hate it. It's got to be done.
Nice. And Meg, you train for downhill and enduro.
Yeah. Well, I've done 2 enduro races this year.
So it's downhill. Would you say that's your focus?
Yeah. It's hard. Like when I haven't chosen which one I prefer.
Okay.
I think it's easy at the moment to say downhill because obviously I does all of them, and I do enjoy it. And most of my friends that I ride with do the downhill series. Going to enduro would be a whole different change, I think. Would be different people I don't know, and would probably, yeah, it's more time out of work, which is quite hard at the moment to have any weekends off, let alone for this. So yeah, so I train for downhill, but when I can get an enduro race in, I will.
Okay.
So we did one last weekend.
Which you won?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
It was very downhill orientated, I must admit.
That was
it did,
Van Gosselin, yeah.
Yeah, it did suit me down to a T. I do like those tracks. So it was brutal. Like, it was, I think if you ask anyone that did it, it was hard. It wasn't pedalling uphill, it was pushing up real steep banks for about 50 minutes.
Brutal.
There was no let up, really. And then you just plummeted into a real steep, techie track. With a nice sprint at the end, which was lovely. But I love them. I really enjoy them. I don't feel as much pressure when I'm doing them. So I don't get that race fear that I do at a downhill, which I quite like. It's a bit more relaxed. You can ride around with your mates. Yeah. So you enjoy them as well, don't you?
Yeah, I was going to say, you've done a few this year. Yeah,
I've done. I don't know. I've done. How many this year? Two.
You've done Foal.
Yeah, I did Foal and I've done British Round as well.
Braithwaite
British.
You won both.
Yeah,
both.
I don't think I've lost an enduro on my HB yet. But, I mean, yeah, I've never been against the best guys, but yeah, I'll still take that.
So you've enjoyed the event though?
Oh, God, yeah, I love the challenge because obviously it's completely different. You ride a lot slower. It's a lot more. You're thinking a lot more. You kind of. Reserved, which is so unusual because downhill's the polar opposite.
Yeah.
So it's kind of nice to ride. But I'd say you ride like 8%, but it's being able to tell yourself that and trusting that.
Yeah.
That you're doing it right. And so far it's worked out for me anyway.
I think that's why I'm better at it because I ride reserved and ride at 8%. When I ride downhill, it doesn't work out for me when I do that.
But awesome. Yeah, it'd be cool to do. I'd like to do an EWS at some point, but obviously be prepared for it.
Yeah, it's a big day out, right?
Yeah, I want to go ready. I don't want to go half-hearted because I'm not like that. I'd like to go and, basically do well, I guess.
Yeah. Could you ever see yourself having an enduro career? Like, is it something that interests you? Or
potentially, yeah. I mean, yeah, I guess see where we end up. Like, don't look too far ahead, but
yeah.
I wouldn't rule it out.
It looks fun. The trails always
look good. And it's, again.
They ride harder stuff than we do.
Yeah.
Some of the
it's tracks. Mad, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah.
Another level,
isn't pretty
it?
Insane.
No, yeah, it's impressive what them guys do. Hats off to them.
Yeah.
I was just to sort of give Enduro a bit of flack in its early days, and no.
Then we went and rode some. Yeah, and then the video.
Yeah, newfound respect. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Good stuff. And Meg, you mentioned that you work full time.
Yeah.
What do you do? What's your day job?
I'm a social guru for a bike shop in Wales called Alf Jones. So I'm there full time, long days. We're super busy. Quite well known shop, so
yeah, big name.
Yeah, we see. Yeah, we're just flat out, especially summertime. But obviously, a lot of the guys I work with also want to race, so we kind of have to take it in turns of who has what weekend off. So obviously, some weeks I have to work weekends, but I do all the social media for them and do everything really, sales, just a bit of everything in there. But I really enjoy it. It's nice working with stuff that you enjoy and like and you're interested in.
Yeah,
like it's easy to sell something that you love. So no, I really enjoy it. It's yeah, probably the longest job I've been in.
I think it is.
2 years.
Nice.
I've done
work.
Well.
You must be enjoying it.
Yeah. No, I do. It's everything I like. So
yeah. But how do you fit being a, like, you obviously train hard. You're into your racing. You guys seem to manage to find time to hang out together a fair bit and race.
Yeah.
Like, how do you fit it all in?
Pretty tired a lot of the time.
Just don't sleep.
I think Meg's lucky that I've got a lot of freedom.
Okay.
Yeah, so
that's what makes it work.
Yeah. Okay. So when I'm shattered or whatever and don't want to drive for 3 hours, obviously he's got every day off in the week kind of to do what he wants.
The look on your face says it all.
I do not
so
stop.
If I've got a Thursday and a Friday off, he can obviously make time for me, which is great, because obviously he'll take me riding. And
yeah,
you're like my own little coach really, aren't you?
Yeah, pretty
pushes
much
me pushes and, me to do stuff and
try and force her to do stuff she doesn't want to do.
Yeah, which happens a lot of arguments, a lot of trail side arguments and throwing of bikes.
No, it honestly isn't that bad.
Have you properly fallen out over it yet?
We were saying this the other day, we've not actually had an argument.
We've never had an argument.
That's impressive.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
We've been going out about 2 years and we've never had an argument.
Not one.
Like, stupid, like,
we had I would say our first proper
I'm not
bicker.
Do that to him.
First proper bicker was when we were buying knives and forks for the camper.
Yeah, domestic stuff. Stuff we're not used to doing.
Basically, I think I didn't like the colour of the knives and forks or something. It was so daft.
In TK Maxx.
Yeah, and you were
like, purple ones.
Well, what are we doing here then? Not like, oh. And then I realised, right, you just let her, you know.
Yeah, this isn't that important.
No, yeah, we kind of laughed about it after, which was, it was funny.
That's it.
But literally, that's as bad as it's
whenever
gone,
we do have an argument, it's laughed off that evening.
And it's over something like food.
Or he made me do a jump, which I didn't want to do, and then I actually did it and felt really good.
You made me do that massive jump that I didn't even make.
Oh, yeah, that's true. So I made... Yeah, Ad almost break his ankles.
Both, twice.
This was early days and he was trying to impress me. So there was this big jump that he built at his mountain, local to where he lives. And he was like, oh, no, I've never done it. And I was like, well, do it then. And he was like, oh, okay, I'll do it. So he went and hit it and I've never seen a case so big in my life. It went viral, didn't it?
Oh, God, it went viral on Instagram.
50-50 would be putting it nicely,
wouldn't
it?
Yeah, I would say. Poor bike. And then decided to do it again because I was convinced I could make it and I was nowhere near. But yeah,
excellent.
It was...
You survived?
Oh, God.
No worries.
Just. Like, I mean, I took... The stem hit my forehead of my helmet.
Wow.
Yeah.
Impressive.
We won't talk about what happened to the bike. But it's in heaven now.
it's buried.
And this was my old bike, for the record.
Yeah.
How did you guys meet then? So 2 years you've been together.
Here, 2 years ago.
Well, leading up to that.
Yeah. Well, we've known each other for ages.
Yeah, known each other for ages. I would basically harass Meg for a date, if I'm honest. Basically, wasn't it? And you finally cracked.
I gave in, I think.
But the crack was, right, so I was in Whistler, Meg messaged me, like, I'm pretty sure she had a crap night out or something. And obviously the time difference, so I was awake, she should have been asleep, and I just get a message like, right, you can take me on a date. So I knew she'd had a bit to drink. I was like, you can take that back. Basically, wasn't it? Next day we were talking. And then anyway, so the next week I was in Val d'Isol.
Yeah.
And she was like, right, if you get a top 10, you can take me on a date. So I did that.
Which would never normally happen, might I add.
No, it would. I was on it that year.
And, that's how he was.
So anyway, I got like 18th in quali, and I was like, hey, she don't want to go back on that thing because I'm boshing a top 10 basically tomorrow. I warned her and went and got 9th, didn't I? Rest was history, to be fair.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. It works, right? That's the motivation for top 10 results.
I basically said this year, I said, right, I can't remember, one of the rounds this year, and I'm like, you're going to have to make some sort of bet with me. Cause
not getting laid.
I need to pull my finger out, basically.
Top 20, you never get laid again.
Added pressure.
Be a long way.
Classic. Awesome.
So yeah, that's basically where we met.
Yeah,
which is
Hopton.
Yeah, well,
kind of really, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, this was first race we truly hung out, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So who organised the first date?
Me. You came to the lakes, didn't you?
Oh wait, yeah, you took me fishing.
As you do.
Romantic fishing trip.
Caught my first fish.
Meg caught a fish. I
also
caught
killed my first fish. I strangled it to death.
For the gram. May I add. I caught a whopper that pulled the boat.
Yeah, he was like, just hold it like this, and I went... Poor thing.
It was only about 12 inches long, wasn't it?
It's really slippery, so I just grabbed a hold of it.
You can find it on Instagram if you scroll very deep.
Eyes are bulging out of its head, the poor thing.
And then we finished that late, didn't we? We were on the lake that long, we didn't even get any food because it was that late.
Yeah,
it was a...
I've not been fishing since.
No?
No.
Oh.
Well, no, you came with me. You sunbathed though, didn't you? And I got burnt.
Puts me out the back in a dinghy and just drags me around. While you fishing.
You've got to remember not to drive too fast.
He forgets about me. He'll come off.
There's only a 10-mile-an-hour speed limit on the lake.
Do you get strange looks?
Nah, it's pretty normal, like, because it's normal to own a boat and...
and tow your partner around in a dinghy
off
the back.
Basically. And then all the boys own a fish. Needs must.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to bring it away from fishing.
Yeah, let's do
yeah,
that.
You won't stop me then.
Let's talk about the nuke brief thing. How did that come together? Because that was a big change for both of you this year, right? You were on the transition, you were on the Scott.
Yeah, so for me, it was obviously... I was at Val d'Isol mid-season, Elliot Heap was racing the four crosser for Worlds, and Nigel came over to me and he mentioned the new bike, and I was ready for a change actually with Scott, and I wasn't happy with where it was going, so he suggested that, and I was like, yeah, I'm super interested basically, and he kind of got the role in there pretty early, like July time, so it was really good, time was on our side to iron anything out, and then met with Rob Shurr, and yeah, we got signed up and made sure Hope was happy and everything and all that, and yeah, off we went, got the bike. We went to Whistler on it. Tried to stay on
the
down low.
Keep it on the down low.
I was testing.
Didn't work, did it?
Not really. And I did wear like black jeans and that, try and blend in. But turns out a lot of pros actually go to Whistler at the end of the year. So.
Kind of got spotted.
Who was it? Yeah, was it Phil who was like, what's happened to your bike? And you were like, got lost on the plane, so I had to borrow this.
Yeah, he actually bought it as well. It was the worst lie ever. Hook, line and sinker, Phil Atwill.
Excellent.
But we're in the same boat. He was riding the cube anyway, so.
Right, you're all right then.
Yeah, it was
pretending they didn't see each other.
Yeah, basically.
So were you involved much in the development of it? Was it pretty much ready at that point?
They were fairly well on with it because obviously they had Sam on it and he raced Garbo at it where it was kind of spotted, if you like. And yeah, we made a few minor changes, just basically mud clearance, I think off top of my head was about the only one. I just wanted a little bit more on the back. And yeah, other than that, I felt it was ready to rumble, that bike. It was, yeah, it was good. Good out of the box.
Sweet. Yeah. Nice stuff. They do look rather tasty.
Yeah, nice.
So, yeah, good.
Swing my leg over one at some point.
There you can.
And have a go.
Borrow mine if you ask nicely.
Well, so we get on. So you guys travel a lot for racing, and obviously you want to keep fit. What do you have any equipment that you like take everywhere with you? Because a lot of people either say, "Well, I'm away a lot with work, I can't train," or "I can't afford to go to a gym," or "There's no gym near me." Like, is there bits of kit that you guys find super useful?
Got the yoga mat in the back.
Yeah, I wouldn't say, kit-wise, I wouldn't say we carry anything, really.
No, I got, like, a Pro Pilot bar, which is pretty good. So it's handlebars taped to, like, a balance board kind of thing.
Yeah, it's the best way to describe it. Basically, a set of handlebars that wobble or want to wobble.
Okay.
Yeah, so in terms of, like, press-ups, burpees, anything balance core-related, like doing the plank on it and stuff, that's really good, so... we go away, we take them. Like, we went to the World Cup and we just had resistant bands with us, didn't we? Which we used actually quite a lot, which were pretty good. So you can just tie around anything and just use them.
And they're super cheap. Like,
oh,
Amazon, like 10 quid.
If you lose it, you're not bothered, basically.
But like a lot of Fit for Race and stuff's just kind of body weight as well, isn't it? It's like old school. So just going for a run, doing burpees, doing press ups.
Yeah, you could. It's super versatile. Yeah. You can make a lot out of it, not a lot. Okay. Makes sense.
Yeah.
But when it comes to when we go for a race weekend, I think it's important to rest as well. Like we make sure, because obviously we train so hard during the week, it's nice to come away and not have to think about that as well. Like we went on holiday and there were times where you're away for 2 weeks and you need to do a bit of something.
Yeah.
But when you come to stuff like this, it's you know you've done all your hard work in the gym, so when it comes to a race week, you don't really have to do a lot. So I'll only train once this week and it'd be pretty light. And then I'll make sure I go for like on my cross bike for a spin or something like that, or a trail bike ride. But it's so brutal. It keeps you fit for a long time.
Yeah,
I'd
say like definitely. Like I find like mid-season, even if I haven't been for a couple of weeks, I'm still like, I generally don't break a sweat on some of these race runs, which is kind of worrying because I'm like, am I not pushing hard enough? Or I know I am fit, obviously, putting the work in, but I think that's one of the beauties of Fit for Race. You, when you're not fit, you're still pretty much fitter than most people, I believe.
Yeah, okay.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, like after this race, I've got 2 weeks, so I'm going to have a big push leading up to Snowshoe and then obviously Hardline straight after and then another British. So
do you feel, I mean, I guess it's pretty hard to compare, but talking to everyone you know within the scene, do you feel like your fitness is like a step above quite a lot of the other downhill guys and girls? Or
I'd like to think so, yeah. I don't see why it shouldn't be. Yeah. I mean, everyone sees what we do. And
I think a lot of people are copying now, though, as well.
I think definitely everyone's kind of, it's opened their eyes a bit.
Last year it was like, CrossFit, what is this? And then this year it's like, what, you're not doing CrossFit? Are you mental? It's the only way you should be.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, where's this come from?
Yeah, I don't know what we're going to have to do next to step
We need to do something outrageous. Need to get Johnny on something.
I'm sure he'll have something up his sleeve.
Brutal, yeah.
Get real crazy on it. Yeah. So, Meg, how's your season been this, like, up to this point? Are you the sort of person that sets yourself, like, targets or objectives for the year, or...?
I don't know about targets. Targets. So, it's, like, there'll usually be a certain someone I want to beat, or... Especially with, like, obviously having Tani and Rachel and Katie out, it was wide open for anyone's, really. Mm-hmm. So it was really whoever was riding well this season. So there's probably me, Becky, Aston, Lucy, all ride, like, a similar level. So it was kind of anyone's, and then it was who had a good season, really. But I think it comes down to, like, I'll never make excuses. Like, I do feel like I am one of the top girls when it comes to, like, the day. But, like, I always bring it back, but I work a lot. And I don't get much time on my bike.
Yeah.
And I wish I did. Like, I feel like if I had more time on my bike, I would be up there. But every race weekend, I want to be on the podium. Like, packed. So, like, I'd love a win this year. It would be amazing. Like, I was gutted to miss out on national champs. Like, I came a few bad offs, which I hadn't had all season. Like, I hadn't crashed, and I knew I wasn't pushing myself. So I came to national champs. It was Revolution. I knew it. I knew I was fast. And I kind of blew it, really. Because I came fourth, and I couldn't hold on.
Right.
On my race run. I literally had to roll through and suffer through. So I thought I had a broken scaphoid, and it turned out I hadn't, but I'm still suffering with like push-ups and riding still now. But on the day I couldn't hold on. I was like crying through my goggles. I sort of was like,
so that
going
was from,
down
from practice crashes
from
or,
practice yeah. crashes, and then I crashed again in qualies, so I seeded really bad, and then race run came down, and I had a smooth run. But I wasn't hooking anything or pushing hard. And it came through, and I was like, that's actually a decent time. And then it just happened that the other girls could push that a bit harder. And I was like 5 seconds off the pace or something.
Yeah, not much.
Pretty close.
So
you
I
pretty
was
much
good.
You were on the money till the last split, weren't you? It was literally the last.
I just couldn't hold on anymore.
Shame.
And, yeah, I was good. but it wasn't my time. But I've had, no, I'm happy with my season. Like, it's a new bike, new change for me. So, like, I've been on transition, like I said, 3 years. So I knew how the bikes worked. The bike is really good. I just need more time.
Yeah, it takes a while, doesn't it? Especially if you're not really able to ride it that much.
So I'm hoping next year, obviously, improve a lot more. But maybe World Cup and then dominate.
So what do you need to do to get into a World Cup? Do you have to go and get some points somewhere?
Yeah, so obviously you get quite a lot from national champs, don't we? Apart from that, like Portuguese nationals, a lot of people do, don't they, in the off-season?
Yeah, like the British Cycling, obviously the jersey scheme.
Okay,
which is a great way to...
So quite a few of the girls have been doing that this year, obviously with a lot of the girls out. Quite the younger girls have been going and smashing it, like fair play to them. There have been some hard tracks.
Yeah, full on.
And I don't feel like I'm at a point to do it yet. Like a lot of people were asking, weren't they, when I was at them.
Yeah, God, if you're
like,
are you
racing? I'm like,
like, I don't know if it's maybe me, I don't know, but like I want to go there when I know Meg's like on it.
Yeah.
I don't want it to go like, no disrespect to any other girls, but a lot just go and make up the numbers where.
Right.
I don't want to go with that approach. I want us to go when we mean business, basically.
Yeah.
And have Meg in that state of mind where she's ready, basically.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, I couldn't think of it. Like, it's hard enough as it is there. Like, never mind being a girl that's thinking, how the hell am I going to get down this track?
Yeah.
I mean, it is gnarly. Like, Andorra and stuff like that.
I want to know going that I've...
done everything, eh?
I've got a chance of qualifying.
Yeah.
If I qualified, I'd be so happy. But at the moment, I don't feel I'm like that. And... I get disheartened quite easily in these tracks. Like, if I'm not riding like I normally do, then I'm like a stroppy teenager. I'm just toys around the pram. Like, today, I was chopping and changing between trail bike and downhill bike. And, it's one of those. It's massive. Like, it's a massive mental game as well as physical. I know I'm fit enough. I'm just...
Yeah, and it's experience as well.
Yeah, massively.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
Yeah, no, you're good enough. It's just...
But no, season's going well.
Cool.
And I'm enjoying it.
Have you got a preferred track if you're going to do a World Cup? Is there one that you're like, oh, I want to ride that? Maribor, like for me, Maribor looked like, I think I could maybe do all right there.
Yeah,
like.
I reckon you'd enjoy that.
Yeah.
I think Andorra would be the only one would be question mark by it, I think.
See, I didn't mind it, so we rode
But then again,
the
yeah,
after.
We did actually.
Oh, really?
She down it, what we're going on about. Because I was like, what's this bit? And then I turned around, she's already done it.
I've been to Lenzerheide before and I loved that.
Okay.
That was my first podium at an RXS and I thought it was an awesome track.
Yeah.
Fort William's still good. Like, being in the UK, representing
That would be a good atmosphere as well. It'd be good fun to be part of that.
That'd be a good first one, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and you know it, like it's a familiar place. And,
that's a lot of things that play factors into
it. Don't have to travel far.
No, all that sort of, little things like that.
Take the van.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It all helps, doesn't it?
Definitely.
When you feel at home.
Comfortable, confident.
Yeah, sure.
It's like there's a lot of plays, you know, because obviously downhill, I would say, is 99.9% mental. And all them little things leading up to it kind of defines your weekend almost. Probably little things you don't even think twice about actually do.
Yeah, it affects how you feel,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely, yeah. So,
that's I think Leger was the one that I...
Yeah, we were
I was walking down the track and I was like, why have I not entered?
Yeah, basically.
It was my kind of track. It was
you had a grin on your face, didn't you?
And everything was just a flat. It was just, this man's taught me well. And you just hook off everything.
Just hold on.
And it was sick. It was just grassy turns and just, it was awesome to watch, but I wish I was riding that one.
Fair play. So quick at the top though, like if you got it wrong up there.
Anywhere, I think on that track you were.
Yeah. But I think that's a good, like if you can walk to a track and it gives you that feeling, then that's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was old school kind of French style. It was mega.
Oh, it was an amazing track. You looked at it, it was like, oh my God, this is so basic. And then,
everyone loved it.
Yeah, it was weird how it just worked. It just worked.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, it was mad.
They seem to have the ability to build a good track out there, for
sure. Yeah, and then atmosphere was, jeez.
Yeah, it was
next
insane.
Level, wasn't it?
It was, yeah, it was phenomenal. Like,
it took me, so I dropped him at the top for your race run.
Yeah.
And I had an hour before he set off, and I was like, easy, I'm going to make that down the track. It was like a queue of people, and I was shouting like, No, but I need to get to the bottom. And you beat me down.
Yeah, by a mile.
So I was halfway down when he crossed the finish line.
Just because there's so many people on the hill.
Just too many people, just couldn't let you pass.
But there was enough. It took us, we were in the finish arena bit. And yeah. It probably took like 40 minutes just to get out of
I
the finish.
I reckon it was 1,000 deep.
Because then I had because I saw you go past and I was like,
ooh. I got a video, you can see like this helmet go by.
Yeah, and then I had a message from TJ, your filmographer, and he was like, where are you? He's in like the media pit. And I was like, shit, he's crashed. Like he's hurt himself or something. And then you were fine. Yeah, I didn't know where I was.
I'm fine. I just had a bit of a tumble.
Yeah. But that was good atmosphere.
Yeah, good nice. Crack. Good round. Yeah.
So how has your season been, Adam? Let's talk a bit about yours.
Oh, well, if you look on paper, it looks crap. But yeah, it's been one of them years, eh? It's like a lot of adversity would be the word, I think. Like, a lot of things that obviously people don't see, just stupid little crashes, and then I had a massive crash at Fort William.
Yeah.
Which really not... Up until Fort William, it was going good. Like, podium the British there. Like, only G and Danny beat me, which isn't bad. And
yeah.
We're kind of on pace and just quietly building, you know what I mean? Obviously, Fort William was my round. Like, I sort of put all my eggs in one basket for that one and wanted to kind of replicate 2016. And then had that massive crash, which frustrated me a bit. Like the course had severely deteriorated. There was a marshal there that saw multiple riders before me crash, and yet it wasn't radioed in.
Yeah,
which was frustrating, but I mean, what can you do? You know, so kind of knocked my wind out of my sails then. I just feel like I've been playing catch up ever since then. Just...
Well, I saw you, and Meg was pretty much having to hold you up so you could walk across the race finish. Like you were severely beaten up from
that
crash,
I mean, I
right?
dare say if someone had checked me over, I wouldn't have been, they wouldn't have let me race. Like,
yeah.
I don't even know where the painkillers came from, but yeah, my mate gave me some good painkillers, and like, yeah, I couldn't even pedal.
You had to push you out.
And then had to go into qualified like just outside top 30 off the top of my head, somehow. And then, yeah.
How did you feel on the bike?
Horrible. It was just, yeah, I just didn't want to be there. It was end of the world, basically. Like, I know it sounds sad, but yeah,
home race,
exactly. Like. And it was just taken away from me like that in an instant. And yeah, obviously, it was just very frustrating. And then obviously, went to Leo Gang, and I was just black and blue all over. And again, no confidence.
Yeah,
You know, even though I had what people would say was an all right result, considering I didn't build anything from Fort William, I didn't feel like I improved as a rider or anything. And then, yeah, just on the backwards foot ever since. And yeah, it's been tough, really.
You used the word confidence.
Yeah.
Like, when something that... I mean, that was a huge crash. When something like that happens, how do you rebuild that? Like, and as it still... Are you kind of almost still in that process? Or do you think you're back?
Yeah, well, that's it. You don't know, do you?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, obviously, confidence was completely gone. And the only way you get it back is a good result. So until you get that good result, you just got to keep fighting.
It's a spiral, almost.
Yeah, it's a vicious circle.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously you can't doubt yourself in that, but it's so easy to, and you know, and you come into similar sections and you can't be scared. So, yeah, I mean, I don't
know what to
say.
To watch as well, because
because you know you can do it, and I've done it before, and come into these rounds where I should be up there, and
but there's nothing we can do to help you.
No one can say anything or do anything. It's all on my shoulder. I put so much pressure on myself for it as well, because obviously I'm like, you know, all these people putting all this in, and then here's me coming mid-30s and that, and yeah, kind of, I was probably a bit hard on myself, would you say? I don't know.
Yeah, you were, but it's
yeah, I got a bit upset, if I'm honest. Like, yeah it got
fair.
To me big time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, we've got a couple of rounds left. Hardline's coming up, you know, snowshoe, there's still, you know, I've got to look at it that way.
Yeah.
There's a lot of racing left, and yeah, we could still have some great results.
Yeah, for sure. And it's, yeah, you've been kind of creeping back up, like...
Slowly, yeah.
Getting a bit more of that confidence and that swagger back on the bike, maybe.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah, just chipping away. But yeah, it's crazy how, like, because obviously I've had three great seasons, pretty much, and then to kind of back to how I used to be prior to that, where I sort of stepped up, it's like, yeah, you're almost not used to it again, even though you've been through it all before, it's kind of like... Yeah, I should be able to deal with it better than anybody, but yeah, it's been tough.
Yeah, but you naturally block out the bad times, right? You remember
the good
times. Yeah,
I think that's a man thing, though. I'm not sure. I think men just sort of bottle stuff up and be like, oh, be all right.
Yeah,
but in,
let's not talk about
it. In reality, it's not. But yeah, no, we'll deal with it. We're built tough, and that's how I've been brought up to get on with it, so that's what we'll do.
And it's super tight. Like, I think people don't, they kind of underestimate how hard a top 30 is at a World Cup these days. Like, yeah. you can make one or two small mistakes, and that can push you a long way down.
You know that all the time. There'll be certain lines on the track, and you're like, basically, if I don't do that, then I might as well not bother going to the start line tomorrow. Stuff like that. I mean, luckily, I think I've got some balls and we can do that sort of stuff. But yeah, you know, it is hard.
Do you think that's changed over the time you've been racing World Cup? Like, has it got tighter, more competitive? Do you feel like you've got to push more now?
Absolutely. I remember when you could afford a crash and stuff like that.
Yeah, there were races where people would crash and still had pretty good results.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's nuts. But definitely, it's not a bad thing. It's where it needs to go. It needs to go to the point where there's thousands.
Yeah.
And I think it will. It is slowly heading that way. I mean, you obviously get these freak races where someone goes crazy fast and just absolutely dominates. But as a whole, the sport is tightening up.
Yeah. It's exciting stuff. It's good for the spectators. Absolutely. I don't know about the races.
No, but... if you're at the right end of that second, it doesn't matter, does it? You're not bothered. I never looked back. I was like, right, how far was I off him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But even to get, now they've gone to the 60 rule, do you think that was a good change? Because it's even if you're not a protected rider, it puts a lot more pressure on qualies.
Yeah, I definitely believe it was a good call. I believe they should get rid of protection.
Okay.
I'm not aware of another sport in the world where there's protection.
Yeah, fair comment.
You know, I mean... Again, it wouldn't. You imagine coming into the final round where there's 10 guys in the chance for the overall. I mean, it's only going to do good. It's, I don't know. For me, it's crazy that there's that protection, really. Because, all those guys, you know, don't get me wrong, when I was protected, I bloody loved it. But I've been unprotected more than I've been protected. And, yeah, there's a lot of riders that, you know, when you see these top guys that aren't protected anymore, and they kind of choke a little bit. So, I mean, I feel, again, to push the sport would be to do away protection. People are like, oh, you wouldn't see the top guys coming down there. You would. It's the same. It would be the same difference. There's still going to be those guys in there and still be insane.
I guess it creates a level playing field because almost they've got a very different day on the quali day to you guys
everyone,
that aren't, right?
Same for everyone. And then it truly, you know, comes down to the man that can deal with all of that the best.
Yeah, never thought about it like that.
Yeah,
but
I mean, that's just my
stress.
Opinion, but I'm pretty dead set on it.
Unless you get back into being...
Yeah, probably.
It takes a massive pressure off, doesn't it?
Oh, God, yeah. When you know you can go out them star blocks and I can go 110, where now I've got to think, right, that bit's gnarly. You know, I don't want to get a punch or anything like that. It's very... Qualifying is tough.
Yeah.
Very tough.
Yeah.
It's like two race runs now, isn't it? Really?
Yeah, that's another thing. I prefer
can't
the old...
Be too chilled.
Yeah.
Because
well, I nearly learned the hard way in Lenzride last week. I was a bit
a
bit reserved, and I was like, hey, you learn from it. You learn from it.
Yeah.
But I preferred the old what would you call it, schedule, where I think we had at one point we had 3 days of training, and then Sunday you'd have quali and race. So you would come off your quali so amped, straight into finals. It was kinda there wasn't a second build up.
Yeah.
You were kinda still on that high.
One big day of
it was just it was sick. I loved it.
Yeah. That's been a while, hasn't it, now, since they changed that?
Oh, God, I reckon, at least 8 years or something daft.
Yeah.
Shows you how long I've been doing it.
Before me.
You went in Barmer.
So what, in your own head, what's more important to you, snowshoe or hardline? Which one?
If I had a choice, it depends what we're saying, win hardline or podium snowshoe.
Yeah, go on then. Yeah.
I'd probably say win hardline purely because that would be... loaded.
It's good financial reward.
Yeah, massive. No, I don't know what. Yeah, no, I think podium at snowshoe would be more prestigious.
Yeah, it'd make you feel better, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it'd be
but you come out of the season in a much different.
A podium at a World Cup's the pinnacle, really. I think.
Yeah.
Doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'd say that.
And as a kind of way to enter the off season, for your frame of mind and your motivation.
You're invincible, aren't you? Yeah. That's the feeling it gives you. That's how I describe it. After my podium before William, I felt invincible.
But then a good run at for hardline, you must feel pretty similar.
Oh, God,
that track, it's there to try and...
Yeah, the year I qualified first, I felt the absolute body. No one could stop me.
Yeah.
Well, that tree did, but you know. if we're putting into words, that's what I'd say.
Yeah.
It's amazing the feeling it gives you. That confidence, there's nothing else like it on earth. It's, bizarre.
Probably, awesome.
If you could bottle it up, it'd be worth selling.
Yeah, I bet you could sell it for a lot of money as well. Cool. So you guys have been together for a while. You've been riding together a lot. We'll start with you, Meg. What have you learned from your time with Adam so far?
think I said it before, didn't I? Just hook it. What do you always say to me when we're in Whistler?
Just hold on.
Just hold on. In the northern way. Just hold on.
Slowly be fine.
It didn't work out all the time, did it? But
9 times out of 10 we've realised it works.
Okay. Just hold on and yeah. Gas to flat.
You're still in one piece.
Just about, yeah. No, you've taught me a lot, haven't you?
I'd like to think.
You've pushed me a lot. I think I got a bit. I think like last. Well, yeah, before I met you, I think it was just kind of the same level.
Like a bit of a plateau.
Bit of a plateau of my like racing, and then met you, and you've kind of made me do. Not made me, but encouraged me to ride harder stuff, ride new places, ride tracks that I didn't think I would normally do, jumps I wouldn't normally hit.
Hiker bikes. Skidder.
I'm still not 100%.
Nah, Meg's a big peddler. She's not into hiker bikes.
I'm not into sticking it on your back.
No.
I'm planning on making her a
bike. A bike isn't
girl,
made
so.
To be carried.
They're not very comfortable to carry.
No.
God. Yeah, we did that big one, didn't we, a few weeks ago?
Yeah. And he decided to tell me at the end, near the end of the day, that you can actually wear it like a rucksack and carry it.
Yeah.
Which I didn't know.
I didn't really. I'd
been pushing my bike all day and I was so miserable. And it was like 35 degrees.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was a stinker.
And then he taught me this little trick and I was like, this is so much easier.
Absolutely.
You've not taught me this now. And then stormed up.
Yeah.
But no, you've taught me a lot and yeah. And push on. Don't give up and just give it away. Just with racing as well.
Yeah, always keep
just
pushing.
Just stick there. In and even if you're in, like last at the British like nationals, because you were there, if I'd done my wrist, I probably would have just gone home.
Right, because you were hurting. And
I was hurting. Yeah. No one was there to look after me. And then you were like, just do it. Just even if you just roll through, like you'd be happier than not doing it at all. And I did, and I came fourth. And
yeah, it's not a bad result, is it, considering like...
No. So, yeah, you made me more resilient and, yeah.
Toughened you up.
Toughened me up, tough yeah. Made me into a northern lass.
Yeah, I'm working on it. I'm trying. Once I get her up there, I'll be able to really fine-tune her.
Taught me some bike stuff as well.
Classic. What about for you then, Adam? What have you learned from time with Meg so far?
Learned a lot about my diet.
Yeah?
Yeah, God. I just used to eat crap, didn't I?
Yeah,
you've definitely. I actually lost quite a bit of weight, didn't I? I got a bit tubby, basically. And she's like, right, now you're going to have to sort yourself out.
So I put him on this. No, I didn't put you on this diet.
No.
But I've got you made you thinking more about what you ate.
Basically, I just lack a bit of discipline when
and
it comes
to food. And then one day we got back. This was early days. We got back from Fit for Racing. And Ad starts to make a protein shake. And I was like, oh, okay, he's having a protein shake. Then puts half a Viennetta in it and thought that was a good way to get calcium back into his system.
And it was nice and cold.
And I was like, oh, my God. We're almost there and it just dived at the last minute.
The thing is, you open my fridge and my dad must have had 20 Viennettas in the freezer.
Why not? They've got to get eaten.
That was normal. He just thought it was normal. And I was like, oh, my God. Who puts a Viennetta in there? Protein shake.
Me.
Do we need to describe what a Viennetta is for anyone that's not from the
it's
UK?
It's an ice cream cake.
Slash
an
log.
Ice cream loaf. It's probably the most calorific dessert you can get.
14 inches by what, like...
It's like a foot long,
5 by 5, yeah, it's a big...
It's a solid bit of ice
cream.
Yeah,
it's a big old... It's like a breeze block.
Yeah.
So imagine half of one of them in your protein shake. It'd be tasty, but...
Hey, I was ready to rumble again.
So your diet's changed a bit then?
Yeah, diet's definitely improved. And then obviously like spending a lot of time with Meg down in Wales has been good.
Yeah.
Rode so much stuff. Like a lot of area stuff. A place that I'd never have ever gone. Which is it's been good. And then newfound love for dogs.
Yeah.
Meg's got a pretty cool dog that I love just as much.
That's me.
It's like my baby. I've actually adopted it.
Oh, nice.
It comes to me more than anyone else now.
What's the dog called?
Roxy.
Roxy.
It's a little bugger. But you can't help but love it. It's one of them.
Yeah, she's a bit of a nightmare.
I've learned to be patient as well. I think it was...
From the dog or from Meg?
Dog's not patient, is it? Yeah, definitely, I feel.
You've become a good coach.
Yeah, it's weird, yeah.
Well, yeah. The fact that you haven't fallen out and you've learnt from him on the riding side is pretty good. A lot of people see him on like ski slopes with couples falling out with one trying to teach the other how to ski. So
yeah, when this, luckily Meg's pretty good at everything. I've learned how to climb.
Yeah.
I'm a bloody good climber now.
He is, annoyingly so. Really frustrates me.
No, basically, I won't fall off. I just won't.
Yeah, he's that stubborn.
Just drop off and start again. I'm like, no.
He doesn't use his feet. He's a bit unorthodox when it comes to climbing. But somehow, he gets his way up. And no, I've been doing it ever since I was little, and he can still beat me. He's been doing
Meg is still the best, but I'm catching up. Yeah, definitely.
But that's cool. So you've had a bit of a sport kind of.
Yeah, no, big time. So obviously, like off season, we spend so much time at the climbing wall.
Yeah, it's good though. It helps with your grip strength.
Yeah, like it's helped with my CrossFit fit for racing so much.
Okay.
Like, because obviously we do so much bar work.
Yeah.
And obviously the climbing's just brought on my grip strength. Like,
yeah.
I didn't even realise. And then I was like, we're doing stuff on the bars and like the other guys are dropping off. And I was like, hold on.
Yeah.
I'm still here and I feel all right. And all I can put it down to is the climbing.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool how them two have crossed over. Because obviously, like, fit for racing is kind of fun, but like, climbing is actually fun.
It's really good. Anyone that wants like a winter activity and still wants to keep them fit at mountain biking, like bouldering is so good.
And like you could absolutely suck at it and you'd still enjoy it.
Yeah.
Like it's so varied. Like, I started, I was literally on ladders. But I still loved it. It was weird. Like, I don't know why.
It's satisfying, isn't it?
No, it is. It is. And I've literally gone up a ladder. Yeah. It's made for a 2-year-old kid.
But you made it. Yes.
That's it.
Cool. Well, we'll start wrapping up and let you guys get on with the rest of your evening. But so we've got our was three questions. It's now four. So you've done three of them. So we'll hit you up, Meg, with the first few.
Oh, God.
It's easy. Don't worry about it. All right. So if our listeners had £150 to spend to improve their performance on a bike, what do you recommend they spend it on?
150. Fit for racing program.
How much is Johnny getting out of?
£30 a month.
How many? What's that? 5 months worth?
Yeah, then just just repeat them.
That's an off season, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that's an off season.
Yeah.
I'd say that's the best way.
It's worth for you guys, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I hold on, I stay on. But then when you crash it, you're stronger, aren't you?
Yeah, if you're more robust, you don't get...
Because I'm not exactly built for mountain biking either.
No, you're like a little feather.
Yeah. And I do crash quite a bit, so yeah, it helps. A
bit of muscle to help keep it all together.
Just bounce back on.
All right. Question two. If you could wind back the clock and sit down with yourself age 16, what advice would you give 16-year-old Meg?
Oh, God. I would have said, give up climbing now and start mountain biking at 16.
Yeah.
I wish I'd started when I was younger. Like, I'd be a lot better by now, I think. I'm still learning, I think. But if I'd started at 16, I think I'd be a bit more. I hopefully would have been at World Cups by now.
But... Oh, yeah, definitely. But would you have met me?
Well, yeah, probably.
Yeah,
just true. Earlier.
Even better.
Win-win then, isn't it? All right, third question. If you could have a coaching session with anyone, and you've already got the best coach, clearly, here, but if you could have a coaching session with anyone, who would it be and what would you want to learn from them?
Does it have to be bike-related?
Doesn't have to be.
So one of my biggest heroes is Alex Honnold.
Legend. Yeah.
So not only just climbing, but that kind of mentality towards any sport.
Yeah.
And that just push yourself to the absolute limit.
Yeah, some of the stuff he's done, like you've got to be pretty, like your mind control, like your mental side of your game's got to be pretty amazing.
I think about yourself, like a lot of the time I'm very much thinking of others and how they're getting on, but it's, I think sometimes you've got to be selfish to do well as well. So I know he's like that. I get that from his videos. He's very, I think, in that kind of what he does in soloing, you have got to be selfish and think of yourself rather than his. Yeah. But yeah, I think him. I think he'd be an interesting guy. I'd just like to sit down with him and just chat.
Yeah. All right. Everything. And then the final and new question is, what do you do every day that you think benefits you?
Ooh, that's tough. Isn't it? Benefits me. Brushing my hair.
That is a hard question.
That's hard. Benefits me. That is really difficult.
It's all right, because you're buying Adam loads of time to think about his answer.
Yeah, actually, I'm racking my brain.
Has he got
right
the
now.
Same question?
Yeah. Oof. He's not had this one yet.
You're first, or ladies first, you see.
What benefits me? That was really difficult. What?
Me.
You? Talking to you?
Yeah.
That was really difficult. You go first.
I honestly couldn't fit. Like, sounds cheesy, but yeah, it's knocking about with Megan, hanging out with her. It's.
Yeah.
We don't do that every day.
Pretty much. We speak every day, whatever. Something like that.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, no, it's just someone there you trust and whatever.
Keeps me mentally.
Yeah, like any. Yeah, and it can't not help you, can it? I don't know.
Yeah, if it's someone that you like and enjoy spending time with, it's huge.
But, like, yeah, if you're going to put it into something, then benefits me. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. That's a tough one.
Like, telling, this sounds cliche as well, but I still live with my mum and dad, and telling them just thank you, even if it's for cooking my tea, doing my laundry, or making my bed, or putting my bike in the shed for me. It's something small and simple, but it makes me feel better.
Yeah.
It makes me a better person for being thankful for what they do for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, like them little things you take for granted almost.
Yeah, I think a lot of people do, and I'm like... 20, how old am I? 26, and I'm still living at home, and
that's pretty normal these days, isn't it?
But I feel like I'm a burden, and I just like to make their life as easy as possible, and I'm thankful. If I say thanks to them or make them a cup of tea, that makes me feel better, because I feel like I've done my bit to keep them happy.
I guess you're grateful that we can come in here and do all this sort of stuff, and
they're very supportive.
Cool.
They know, like I spend all my money on this, so that's why I can't buy a house or do that kind of stuff. And like, Dad's had to take my car to get a new battery this weekend
when we're here.
I don't have time, and
sounds like
thank you.
Yeah, that's good. I like that.
There you go.
Yeah,
so spending time with
not
Meg.
Brushing my hair. Saying thank you. Brushing my hair does help me. And everyone else.
Visually.
Awesome. Right, if people want to keep in touch with you guys and follow your seasons and your riding, where's the best place? Instagram?
Yeah.
Where can they find you?
At Ad Brayton.
At Meg. Is it an underscore? White. With a Y.
Excellent. We'll put it in the show notes. People can find you
there. If you want to see Nando's fishing, bikes and puppies.
And that's the one.
And workouts.
Yeah.
Wicked. Nice one. Well, thank you so much for your time this evening. All the best for racing tomorrow.
Cheers.
Hope it goes well for both of you.
Thank you very much.
And see you soon.
See you soon.
Cheers.
Ciao.
All right, that's it for our chat with Meg White and Adam Brayton. I hope you've enjoyed listening and got something out of the episode. Thanks to Komoot and Precision Hydration for supporting the podcast. And don't forget, they've both got great listener offers for you. Head to komoot.com/G, that's Komoot spelled KOMOOT, and use the code DOWNTIME, all in capitals, to get a free regional map bundle of your choice worth $8.99. It's your last chance, so don't miss out. Head to precisionhydration.com to learn more about your specific hydration needs and for your free hydration plan. To get 20% off all Precision Hydration products, just use the code DOWNTIME, all in capitals, at the checkout. Both those links, along with all the other things we've mentioned in the show, are in the show notes over on our website, downtimepodcast.com. If you've got a couple of minutes, then leave us a review wherever you listen to the podcast. Give us a follow on social media where we're at Downtime Podcast, and make sure you subscribe to the show so you get all our episodes delivered straight to your device. If you want to help support the podcast, you can get yourself some exclusive Downtime Podcast goodies by heading to downtimepodcast.com/shop. All right, we've got another awesome episode coming up soon, but until then, get out and ride.